Good morning, church. Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. I feel very blessed. And one of the reasons I was looking forward to meet you and see this place is that I believe, or I don't just believe, it's a fact, God is the same in Slovakia and in here. But God has different expressions of himself and his presence in various cultures. So anytime I travel outside of Slovakia, east or west, I see different expression of God's presence in that country, and it's a great encouragement to me, and it's a great opportunity to me to understand God a little bit better, a little bit from different perspectives. So that's happening right now. So thank you for welcoming me here. And partially, I feel here like home. You know, this is a second service, so I feel I know you. You don't know me. It's the lights and faces, so I feel I'm here already. But at the same time, I know Caleb and Pastor Ben for a while. Caleb has been to Slovakia just recently. We had some good burgers, and we had some good burgers here as well. So that's kind of a burger thing. You're very welcome to come and taste some. And at the same time, there is a group of you that is praying for us, and that has been one of really like strong moments for me and my wife and my family, that like 2 or 3 months ago, we got an email from your group that just said that we are praying for you. We adopted you in our prayers. We would like to pray for you. What are your needs? What are your prayer requests? And this is not something typical for our culture. People would not just adopt someone and pray. Like that's not a common thing. So that was huge encouragement to us. And in fact, me and my wife, we told to ourselves that we should do the same for somebody else. So you're a great inspiration to us and great encouragement. And just walking by here and seeing our picture hanging on the wall down the corridor, I just had to take the picture and send to my wife. And she's home right now with our 2 kids, so it's a bit tough for her. But again, that was encouragement to see that I'm at a place where you care about us. So thank you very much for that. And I hope these next 2 hours will be an opportunity also for you to get encouraged by what's happening in Slovakia and see different kind of expression of God's presence in our culture. But I would like to start with introducing myself. So this is a picture of our family. Now you know why I feel here in Spokane like home. The snow. And so this is us. This is our kids, Edward, he's 6, Christina, she's 4, my wife and I, we are 34 and 33 years old, and that's the place where God teaches me the most important lessons of my life right now. My father told me when I was younger that, hey, if you think high of yourself, just get married. And if you still think high of yourself, just get yourself a kid. So God is blessing me life lessons through my family. But that's one of the most important things I've learned, that all my mission starts with my family. That's my first thing in my mission. That's my first task. And I have been, I can call it a sin, committing a sin that I was giving the best of me outside of my family, then I came tired home and give just the rest of what was left of me to my family. And just years ago, God sent me old enough and wise enough people to my life that looked at my working hours and just told me, this is a sin. Family is the first thing you have to take care of, and you together as a family are on a mission. So it's not just your performance, it's performance of your family as a whole. So that's why this is a very important picture today, that the ministry, my ministry in Slovakia, or in our church, is not my ministry, it's our family's ministry. And just to say a few things, I originally didn't intend to be a pastor, I am now, maybe partially because my father was a pastor, and I saw what the church did to his hair. Then I realized, oh, maybe that was me. I was quite a kid. And but for real, I saw that it's a hard job. My father became a believer while he was studying university during the communism regime in our country. So to become a believer, it meant he really was convinced about gospel. He was really convinced about his faith. And he got his master degree from electrical engineering. He moved with my mom as a part of a church plant in forgotten region in Slovakia. And that's where I was born, and I was raised up in such family, church planting family. Then later on, my father became a full-time pastor and changed his field. And I saw that's a really tough thing. So I thought, I cannot do this. It's not really my calling. So I became not electrical engineer as my father, but computer engineer. That's my degree. I have master's in computer engineering. But in 2009, 11 years ago, God called me to become not a full-time pastor at that point, but to become minister, to serve in church. I was married before that. I was married when I was 22. So my wife says me that she has married a computer engineer, and now she has a pastor at home. So she says, that's a betrayal. It's kind of a joke because, of course, that was a family decision we've made, and we make fun of it. So I'm a pastor right now, and my wife, she's a teacher. She teaches high schoolers. She teaches English. And that's how we are somehow both teachers, but in different environments. And there goes a joke with this. I have a friend in Finland, and Finland is pretty doing well in Europe. They have one of the best paid jobs is teachers. So when I told my friend in Finland that my wife is a teacher, then he told me, wow, you're loaded. Then I explained him how it works in Eastern European countries. Then he was, oh, okay, I didn't know that. So it's just fun how Europe is diverse. Like, it depends where you go. And I could share loads of stories about my kids, but just to mention one, the greatest privilege is to see firsthand how God is transforming our kids, our children. And I really love the end of the day time, the bedtime. That is one of the best opportunities to plant the seeds of faith and to just read something from Bible. And I read something from Bible to my kids from Old Testament. And now I don't know if it's a good idea. So then after reading them, Old Testament, actually that was from the children's Bible, so nothing horrible. Then my son, he was maybe four at that time, he started praying, "Dear God, punish all my enemies. Kill them." No amen to that. So I told him, okay, let's pause here for a little. Let's bring Jesus into this prayer. So that was a good opportunity to teach him something. And I just love to see this happening, how they grow. And I know they will become teenagers. That's another thing. So maybe 10 years later, if I'm here still, I will be crying about my teenagers. I don't know what happened. You know, actually, I was a pretty tough teenager. And I started listening to my parents after one thing they told me. And they told me that everything you do to us, your kids will do it to you once. And since then, I started to obey, and now I'm a little bit afraid what will happen within the next decade. So a couple of numbers for you. This is over 70%, and it means that over 70% of Slovakia is Roman Catholic religion. There are 5.5 million people living in Slovakia, which is just small nation in Europe, and more than 70% would be Roman Catholic. The thing is that they will be just nominal Christians. Just the Catholicism is a national thing. To be a Slovak means to be a Roman Catholic. The state and the church, the Catholic Church, are connected. The church has become a state institution. So if you're a Slovak, you're not a Muslim, you're a Catholic. If you're a Slovak, you are a Catholic. So you're born, you're baptized, you get wedding at church, you're married there, you get a funeral at church, and that's basically it. And the real life is detached from the church life. So when I'm telling my friends about church and I get excited, they don't really get it. Once I was sharing with one man about the church, and then he asked me, like, why do you go there? You don't know how to behave. I found out at the age of 15, why do you have to visit the church? So that's basically it. If you know how to behave, you think you don't need the church. And also this creates, it's both. It creates a perfect evangelistic opportunity, but it also creates some kind of a barrier. So if you share gospel, if you want people to know Jesus, the first barrier there is, it's the gospel barrier. Like sharing gospel with people, it's a barrier. You either accept the gospel or reject, and that's it. And it's crazy enough to share gospel with people. But there's, in our culture, there's a second barrier, and it's being a non-Catholic Christian, like evangelical Christian. People just don't get it. They're afraid of that. And that's a huge, huge thing that impacts the way we're doing our missions and how it works. Usually the story would go like this. A person doesn't know Jesus. And we, or I, or anybody, talks to the person, present the gospel. Let's say the person accepts the gospel and wants to follow Jesus. Let's say the person gets baptized. Then suddenly the family that even don't care about the church, but suddenly the family freaks out. Like, oh, what are you doing? You are a Catholic. What are you doing? You're betraying us. If you do that, you are not able to, we want you back home. You will be kicked out of the house. That's in some cases. In some cases, it's just like, we will be really angry with you. So the person gets real pushback, and the strings are pulled. And then the person would say, okay, it's so complicated. I can follow Jesus in Catholic Church. I will do that. I will follow Jesus in Catholic Church. Then the person goes to Catholic Church, and to most of the cases I know, the person stops following Jesus at all and just drops out of the church. And that's 90% of the stories. So that's something that's a little bit frustrating about the ministry in Central Europe and our context. And just one more illustration to show how big this thing is. A couple of years ago, I was having a minor surgery, so I was at a hospital for 5 days. And I spent, that gave me an opportunity to know some people. And I spent those 5 days with one man, old man, in a room. We were talking and just getting to know each other. And suddenly he found out that I'm an evangelical Christian. And he freaked out. He started asking questions, you know, the heart rate monitor went up, and then I called him down, and the heart rate monitor went okay. And so we were talking, and then when his family came to visit him, the first thing he told them is that, oh, this guy is not a Catholic, but don't be afraid, he's like us. He's okay, he's cool. So we somehow became friends, and then he gave me advice. And he told me, hey, listen, you have to beware of Baptists. Beware of Baptists. And I said, well, why Baptists? What does this have to do with Baptists? He told me, they drink the blood of their children. And he was serious. And I told him, no, they don't. And he told me, yes, they do. And maybe I said again, no, they don't. And he said, yes, they do. So I just left it there. It's just kind of the thing in Slovakia. Historically, always we were part of a greater nation that was ruling us. And whoever was ruling us, he told us what to believe and what was our religion. And somehow we ended up with being Catholics, and everything else is weird. And they're just afraid of that. In fact, in the city center of our city, Žilina, there is a statue of Mary. And it's just a nice piece of statue. People just take pictures. But there's a story to this statue. 100 years ago, our city was diverse. There were Lutherans. There were Catholics. And the political decision has been made that all Lutherans have to convert to Catholicism or be thrown away or killed or anything that's needed. So that's what actually happened. After a couple of years, the city was 100% Catholic. And as a celebration, what the city did was they built this statue of Mary to celebrate this thing and remember. And the statue is still there up to this day. That's crazy. That's just the context we are part of. Sometimes we make jokes with my friends that we get a hammer, like the car hammer, and, you know, put the chain on the statue and take it down, but that wouldn't help anything. It's just the part of our culture. So another number is that we are 0.5. That's the number of Christians or evangelicals in Slovakia. It's really, really little number. So in city of 90,000 people, we have, there are maybe 200 people that are evangelicals. The question is, how long would it take to have 1% of evangelicals in Slovakia? Because if you have 1% of evangelicals, or any group, if there's 1% of them, things can change. You know, you can influence something. So my friend has counted the number. Within the current rate of growth, it would take 20,040 years. 20,000. So no, in 2040, but 20,040 years. So it's 4,060. Oh, this is 2 years old number. 4,060. That's a lot of years. So we ask ourselves the question: what are we going to do? Of course, it's God's thing. He's going to do the things. But what can we do as a church? And in our context, we came up with the conclusion that the new churches are the best evangelism strategy for many reasons. And there are many arguments about this, and different contexts need different strategies. But for us, planting new churches, new smaller communities, this is what really makes sense. So where we are is northwest Slovakia. Just to give you some context, up north there's a Poland, east there's a Ukraine, south there's a Hungary, southwest there's a Austria, and northwest there's a Czech Republic. So there we are, and this is where our church is. 20 years ago, 1998, our family moved into that place. My father was a pastor, and he basically replanted the church that was there. It was not doing really well at that point, just a little number of people. So 20 years ago, 1998, there were maybe 20 people meeting at that city. And nowadays, this is how it looks like in our city. But what you see on this picture, it's not just one church. It's three churches in one city. So we have the church where I grew up. It's CB Žilina Church. Then we have a Korean church, CB Korea. That's actually an interesting story, because the Slovakia is actually called Detroit of Europe. We have many car companies: Jaguar, Land Rover, Volkswagen. And some years ago, a Korean company, Kia, built a big plant in our city. Huge plant, and we are building cars, hundreds of cars every day, and we export them to Russia and to Europe. And many Korean families moved in, and with them there came a pastor, the Korean pastor, that started a CB church, like CB's our denomination, CB church in Žilina. An interesting thing is that if you know about the Moravian Brothers movement, I think you know, that movement influenced the South Korea historically. So the church in South Korea was founded or influenced by Moravian Brothers movement. Moravia is actually just behind the hill of us. It's next to us. And when this pastor came years ago to our region, he said that, "I'm home. This is my home." That was interesting. So he started or planted a Korean church in Žilina, in our town. And what we have currently is one church in three places, one community in three locations. And some people were afraid that if we start new church and new plant and make it smaller, that it will hurt the gospel ministry in Žilina. But in fact, it didn't hurt. It just helps, because we have three different expressions of church in the same town. And one size doesn't fit all the time. I couldn't serve the Korean church, really. They don't speak English much in that church. They don't speak Slovak. Only their children speak Slovak. but they need a Korean pastor. And it's the same with our two churches, our sending church and the church plant. We can approach different type of people and different needs. So that's what's happening right now. And just to give you a broader context, we are part of Evangelical Free Denomination, which has 17 established churches around Slovakia. And this is our region up north. So that's where we work. It's 1 hour, 1 hour drive, circle what I drew. Again, depending on who drives. who drives and how's the traffic? But there's a great need. And this is the region where we are focusing on, the Žilina region. So 3.5 years ago, we decided that the good thing would be to plant a new community, to start a new community. And these were the people that started it. That's the old picture from 2016, early 2016. And this is the core group that started the community. And we called the community Zakostolom. I already mentioned in the video that it sounds much better in Slovak. It doesn't really translate to English well, because you use the word church for many things. The building is the church. The community here is the church. Your denomination is the church. But we have a word for each of those, the different word. So kostol, the word kostol, it's the church building. And we purposefully took this word and named ourselves that we are the thing that is happening outside of the church building. And the name reminds us things, at least two things, and there's a reason to this name. The first thing that this name reminds us and communicates to people around us that we are on a mission. We are not just a group of people that is sitting in a bunker and waiting until the end of the ages come, and then we finally can get our spaceship and fly somewhere away. But we are on a mission. We are here for a purpose. And the mission is that we're saturating our lives and our city with the gospel. So we're saturating our lives, we're taking care of ourselves in order to saturate the city with the gospel. And also, this means practically for us, in our context, to be a church where unchurched people would love to return and grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. So this name reminds us anytime we're having debates how the life of church should look like, it helps us to figure this out. We are a church that is not meant to be just a cool place for Christians. We are a church which is meant to be a place that serves people outside of the church as well as it serves us. So it made us to change a lot of things. The way we talk, we don't want to water down the gospel, but we need to make it understandable. So for instance, if there are new people coming in and I have a sermon, it doesn't make sense if I preach in a way where I just mention a bunch of verses and tell people, you know what I mean, when Moses said that and Abraham said that. People don't know. People are not educated well in a Bible story, etc. So it just means we have to figure out how we communicate, the worship style we choose, what's happening when people come in, when they go out, etc., etc. So this name reminds us all the time. Anytime when we have the feeling we need to change something, we are reminded that our mission is to saturate not just our lives, but the city with the gospel. And the other thing that is reminded to us that is every day. Because it's not just in a building on a Sunday morning, but the church is happening outside a building. On Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. It's all the time. It's not a building. It's not an event. It's a family. Church is a family community who saturates itself and the city with the gospel every day. So it's a big challenge that we need to be reminded of, because it's not really natural. I mean, it should be natural, but it's sometimes really hard because the culture around us doesn't help us in this way. It's contradictory to that. So remind us ourselves, like, we are the church. Even when we exit the church building, we still are the church. So I will show a couple of pictures from our daily life. This means that we had to rethink how our church operates. And one of the things we did is that the Sunday meetings, every other Sunday meeting, we meet in a theater. That's remodeled theater. I can show a picture. So this is when we had the big meeting. This is how it looks like. Actually, some of you may know this guy that is behind me. It's Aaron Gibbs. He's from Spokane. Their family just moved to join us last month. That's a huge blessing. And so this is how it looks like. It's a theater. We have remodeled that, so it looks like a living room. That was done in purpose, because we focus mostly on young families. And if you look at a church in Slovakia, I usually see youth being very active in a church, and then old people are active in a church, but the young families generation, they just disappear from the church because they have kids, and kids get noisy, and it's all messy, and the churches in Slovakia are, you know, the old buildings, and it's not really convenient, and they don't feel just accepted there. Like, they feel they are a burden to the community meeting there in the quiet, so they don't disturb God, you know, so they want to be very quiet there. God is sleeping. So we wanted to create an environment where family can just come and see it. Okay, a little bit noise here, a little bit noise over there. So it's just what we created. But it's every other Sunday, and the other Sundays we meet in our homes. We have the missional communities, and each missional community meets in its own place every other Sunday. We put that meetings purposefully into the Sunday, not into the weekdays, but Sunday, because we want to show with the way we live as a church that it really, being a church, is not connected to the building. Because anyone who visits us and says, oh, you're meeting at a house on Sunday morning, so is this a church, but you're not in the church building? And we can say, yes, this is a church. We are Christians. We have our elders here. We have a Bible. We have a good coffee. So, of course, we're a church. And so that's how we meet. This is one of the missional communities meeting. And it's interesting how it translated to the vocabulary of my children. So when we have a Sunday morning, they ask me question like, who is hosting the church today? Who is hosting the church today? Where are we going to the church meeting? We would like to go to that home or to that home. So our children, since they're born, they're shown that the church is not about the place, it's about the community that can meet at any place, anytime. So this is the mission of communities. Then we have small groups, or DNA groups, or there are many names we can use. It's groups of three or four people who just meet and read Bible and study that. Actually, in this picture, the guy who's doing the barbecue or grill, he's non-believer. His parents are non-believer. He has never been to church, not really, except a part of weddings. And he started attending with his family, our church, and he's hosting this small group here. And we were reading through Gospel of Mark. It was super interesting to see him reading through the Mark, because it seems, you know, he never read that, and it seems that he has all the right answers. Like, he understands it well. So that was interesting, because when we Christians, long-term Christians, read Gospel of Mark, you know, we write such a thick books about it, and it gets really complicated, and we're arguing that my thick book is better than your thick book, and like, what does really mean this? But he just came out of nowhere, and he just read that, and according to my thick book, it was correct what he said. Yeah, I have a big library just to, you know, express that, don't argue with me. I mean, at home, anyone who's visiting gets respect, because the thick books are there. They are important. I don't want to put them down. But it was interesting to see how this fellow was understanding the gospel. So small groups are important. We try to mix them with non-believers if possible. And retreats, we do it because we are a family, want to spend time together and hang out, climbing if it's needed. We climb the rocks or just play ice hockey. That's a big thing in Slovakia. I'm sorry you lost on Friday evening. Your team lost. But the good thing is it won yesterday, so it's good anyway. Yeah, that's what somebody told me after the first service, that it's a good news. The gospel of hockey yesterday. And one of the important things we are doing, because we are a small church and we don't want to be everywhere, and some wise people advised me, just focus on little things. We're developing leaders. That's the crucial thing. I don't want my church to become dependent on me long term. It should become, I should be the one who is developing the church to become the church that is self-sufficient, that is the church that can plant churches in the future, church that is missional. So it means the key to that is leaders. So that's what we do intentionally. If I should draw you the structure of our church on a napkin, it would look like a house. And I would like to show it to you. So this house has foundations. Then there are some rooms in the house. There are some tables in the rooms. And then there's a roof. That's our church. And there's some explanation to it. So the foundation is something that we have common and that should not change much. It's just something that holds everything together. It's the values we have, the vision we have, the leadership, the elders team, office, budget, resources. It's the thing we have common. Then there are the rooms. That's the life of the church. And those are the missional communities. And the missional communities are responsible for 2 Sundays a month, small group ministry, 2 times a month at least, hangout 2 times a month, weekends 1 times a year, but just the minimum. They can do more. And what I try to do when saying develop leaders is developing the leaders of those missional communities. And I see them as a smaller version of the church. It's really the leaders of the missional communities should be the people where the members of the community go to when they're in trouble. Not to me, the pastor, but to them. I should equip them to lead them. And a lot of them. So the pastoral care should happen there. The teaching should happen there. And the life should happen there. So there are the tables. It's just an expression of small groups. And then there's the roof. It's the occasions where we all meet under the one roof. It's 2 Sundays a month. It's leaders development. And 1 weekend retreat a year where all of us meet together. So this is something we had to recreate. It works for now, right now. And some people that are in church planting longer than me in our region told me that I have to be prepared that those 10 people that started it, it will take maybe 5 or 10 years until we become like medium-sized church. In our context, medium-sized church is 50 people, really. Like the largest church we have would be just a couple of hundred people. So 50 to 100 people is medium-sized. It takes that long time. So I was warned that the rhythm we choose is really important because it can, if we do it wrong, our leaders will burn out because they have to do the same thing long-term. Then they can burn out after a while, and we don't have leaders. We don't have people that actually want to do things. So that's somehow how we came up with this every second week rhythm and make something together and something separate. And actually, it's a huge blessing, so people like it. It's good. And the other thing that helps us, or this model of church helps us to do, is to plant new churches. And usually when you speak about planting a church, you mean planting the whole thing somewhere else. But what we can do now is just plant a missional community somewhere else. We don't have to plant the whole thing. It's much easier just to equip the leaders to be some part of what we do and we can deal with the rest. So we adopted a community in a nearby city. Those are the guys. And we help them to be the church where they are. Yeah, we also partner with the city. There are a couple of ways we can do that. We try to support a crisis center who takes care of families in crisis. Once a year, we do a fundraiser and we give them money and we just are interested in them. And I have my office in a co-working space, so that's a good place to meet people. And also, we have some partnerships with the other like-minded churches in our area. So these are a couple of names. Just a couple of more numbers. Our core team is 8 people, 22 members, adults, and 15 children they have. Some more on the way. Regular attendings are 43 plus 27 kids and 150 people that somehow just visited us or went through our church. And the same thing we are doing also on a national level. So our denomination, which is a big miracle because Slovak churches just don't like the word vision and mission. They're afraid of that. So we somehow came with the mission and vision, and that's first thing is revitalizing the churches, and the second is planting new churches. So I'm involved in a national level ministry, and we came up with some tools how to do that, but the current situation is that we have 17 established churches, and by the grace of God, we have a couple of church plants right now. So we have been able to come up with assessment tools, basic training tools, coaching tools, educational tools, and funding tools. So that's the thing we do. And as my time is up, I would like to just say that I can be sharing about our strategies and napkin pictures and many things we come up with, but at the end of the day, all we can do is just a little bit better understand God's story, what God is doing here, and we can just understand our story and how it relates to God's story. There's one thing I would like to read you from Luke 24, and you are blessed because I didn't have time to do it on the first service. And Luke 24:46-47. It's Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples, basically. And then he says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Yeah, when Jesus says that it is written, it also can be translated like, this will happen for sure. If it's written, it will happen for sure. And he says two things will happen for sure. The Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Did it happen? For sure. And the second thing, the repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Will that happen? For sure. And this takes a huge burden down from us because just God will make it happen. The gospel will be proclaimed in Slovakia sooner or later. And it's not about us being the best strategy guys and making it all work. It's about God moving what he's moving. And we're just here to understand what our role is in the things he does. So it's about our stories and God's story and how it relates together and understanding what we should do next and relying on God's part in this. So just a couple of things we celebrate is the baptisms. Just this guy, 3 years ago he was, or maybe 2 years ago, he was atheist. He laughed. When I was praying with him, he was like, "Oh, Anchi, this is so funny. You're just closing your eyes and talking to air. The prayer is so funny." And it took him 6 years to even get serious about the gospel. Then he visited our church, and I don't know really how it happened, but 3 months later, he asked me on the phone, like, "Yanchi, would you mind baptizing me? Would that be okay?" And I asked, like, what happened? I didn't know. I was just praying secretly at home last weekend, and something happened. And then he told me the story, and that God answered his prayer, and yeah, it was something we did with our strategy and sharing gospel, but also God did something in his life, and he gave his life to Jesus. This guy has been Christian a long time, but he realized that he needs to make a greater step in his faith, and so he got baptized as well. This is what we can celebrate. We can be in Slovakia, not anyone can do weddings, but I can do weddings, and they're okay with the state, so it is a regular wedding, so great opportunity. So these people are attending our church as well. And these people are Christians. They're super great people, super great couple. But they're example of how planting a new churches develops leaders, because when they were part of the church where I grew up, and it was a pretty big church in Slovakia, it's a big church, everything was done well. The worship was working. The youth ministry was working. The ministry was working, and they moved to city at the point where church was doing well, and they couldn't really find a ministry they could serve at. that the church was not ready to give them a ministry. But as we planted the church, they jumped literally from the back row seats into the front row seats, and they're one of the core families in this church plant, and they have a great opportunity to serve in ways they couldn't serve in an established church where you have to make your way up within the structure, which I don't want to say it's not possible with the church, but in our context, this is just how it works, that it helped them. So that's a great thing we celebrate. So if you want to pray for us, and I will be asked the question in a while, just things, two more pictures. One picture is, we pray for those four cities around our city that we could plant missional communities there. It's simple. It's 30 minutes or 1 hour drive, all the directions, north, south, east, west. In the west, we have the missional community I showed you, and we're praying for three more. The north and south is the region where there are no Protestant churches. It's only Catholic region, only Catholic churches. And they really think we drink the blood of their children, so it's really complicated. And this is my father, so now you know what I did to him. He has no hair anymore. I was a tough kid. And this is picture of one of his lectures he was giving about marriage and raising up kids. He has started a ministry for helping families to raise their children and nourish their marriages. One of the books he has translated from Dr. Tim Kimmel. This is one of our prayers. The families are in a bad shape, and it's in Slovakia generally. And it's one of the greatest fields where we can bring gospel in a practical life and help the family move on and get healed. So you can pray for all this ministry that's here. So thank you, and Caleb, you can come.
Thank you, Yanchi. Privileged to have you here with us. I hope you guys all have learned a few things. If you'd like to know more and pray more for them, there's at the information counter a prayer card you can get with more information on the back, and I'm sure Yanchi would be happy to share more with you. Here for a limited time, unfortunately, he leaves tomorrow morning, so not a lot of time to connect with him, but very thankful that you made time while you were in the U.S. to come and visit us and to share about your ministry. So
it was a privilege.
Let's pray for Yanchi, and then if the worship team, I don't know if they're coming or not, but okay. Father God, we come before you today, and we thank you so much for, Lord, your goodness in our lives, Lord, the ways that we see that we are blessed here at Valley Bible Church in such a way that we can also be involved in contributing to the needs of those who are working and doing gospel ministry around the world. And we thank you for our partnership with Yanchi and Yana and the kids and the work that they are doing in planting this new church in Jelena. Lord, would you continue to give them strength? Lord, would you help them to be able to raise up leaders? Would you provide the young men and women who would be willing to take on that task of stepping forward and growing and stepping into leadership as well, and then give them the wisdom as they seek to train them? Father God, we pray that you would continue to provide for the lack, for the needs, Lord, providing not just financial needs, but also somebody who might be able to train or to come alongside of families and help to counsel and encourage them, Lord, as that is a tremendous need that Yanchi has shared there in Jilina, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, you would help them. Lord, we pray for this young or small community that they've been able to plant, Lord, to the west. But Lord, we pray for the east and the north and the south, these towns where they would like to see these small communities planted, Lord, that your church might grow in this area and the gospel might be proclaimed. Lord, they have a big vision, and we just pray, Lord, that you would be at work. We know that it is only really ultimately through you and your power that we can work, and we trust and entrust it to your glory. And Lord, pray for Yanchi, and Lord, pray for Yana as she's home with the kids as well. Would you encourage her while Yanchi is still here, and strengthen her as well. Lord, thank you for this time this morning. Lord, challenge us in our hearts as well to be on mission, reaching those around us as well in the same way that they are. Lord, we know that the same needs are present here in our neighborhoods, and that we need to be actively looking for gospel opportunities, recognizing that we're the church on mission to make disciples every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.